From Cheyenne to Cody, from Gillette to Rock Springs, this is Let's Talk Wyoming, your weekly double dose of Wyoming politics. Because politics may be complicated, but we're here to break it down and help you make sense of it all. I'm Amy Edmonds, a former legislator from Cheyenne. Thanks for being here. Welcome to Let's Talk Wyoming. Hope you're doing well. It's another beautiful week here in Wyoming. It is still springtime. It's glorious down here in the southeastern corner of the state. We are finally getting moisture, which has been wonderful. I hope you had a beautiful, thoughtful, restful, and contemplative Memorial weekend. It's such a somber moment for us as Americans, and one in which I hope we all took the time to think about those who paid the ultimate price so we could all be free. So hope you're doing well. After a couple of weeks of pretty intensive, history intensive, and just intensive sort of podcasts on conservatism and on populism and all the other things that we're discussing, I promised that I would get back to more of the news of the day in more of the current topics that are happening. So we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening with interim committees. So when the legislature is not seated during the interim, they meet. They usually meet all over the state. If you want to attend one of these meetings, you can go to the yoledge.gov, the legislative website that the LSO maintains, and you will find the schedule for all of the different standing committees and where they're going to meet. Last week, joint minerals, and when I say joint, I mean that the House and the Senate members come together during the interim and meet together. So Joint Minerals met up in Casper to talk about a number of things, but really on everybody's mind, and in particularly because we're hearing about it outside of this committee meeting, there's been a lot of chatter on social media. There's been a lot of chatter about these two projects I'm going to talk about today, but also some others. But the two projects today that they discussed were involving nuclear energy. So some of the questions at Joint Minerals I thought were really smart, were really thoughtful, were very earnestly done, trying to get more information, trying to educate the public at large. That's part of the work of the interim, is to have people participate, people listening in. They can hear those questions as the legislators themselves learn about new topics or learn about new issues. And in this instance, it really is something very, very new. It's something rather cutting edge for our state to be on the cusp of. Unfortunately, we also saw in that meeting a few legislators who are obviously opposed or seem to be opposed to the projects, because they were not asking really, I think, smart questions. They were asking very leading questions, kind of more prejudiced questions. And, you know, in the interim process, the way the interim process works, this is really the time not to be sort of playing politics or grandstanding. It's really the time to be getting down into the weeds, asking, you know, tough questions, being smart, being thoughtful, being earnest, digging in, getting your homework done. Because a lot of these things involve really complex issues. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that and about the proper way to handle complex issues. And so that's really what the interim work is about. Generally, by the time you get through the, you know, spring, summer, and fall and head into the next legislative session, you should be pretty up to speed. And at that time, you can make more of a judgment call about, do I or don't I want something like this? So we saw some great questions. We also saw some not so great questions. And I really wanted to kind of talk about it, because when it comes to energy, you know, Wyoming, we have always been a leader. You know, for more than a century, I think we've been the proud stewards of America's coal production. We've lit, you know, we've had been on the front line and making sure that people's homes were lit, and we've fueled industry. We've, you know, grown the nation as a whole. We're one of the leading coal producers, along with, you know, West Virginia and Kentucky and other states. And we've really, you know, done that. We're the backbone of many, many Wyoming communities in terms of our coal production. It's really been built by coal. And, you know, that legacy can never be disrespected. It can never be dismissed, and it can never be discarded. It is a part of the fabric of who Wyoming is, and it always will be. But I think in the meantime, we have to recognize that leadership means looking ahead as well as honoring the past. We just went through the Memorial Weekend, where we look back and we think of those who've given their lives, and we honor them. But it does not mean that we stop being prepared. So leadership means not just honoring the past, but also looking ahead. And I think right now, Wyoming is really standing at the edge of history with these new projects. I think they could really shape the future of American energy in a lot of ways. I think I say that with the caveat that I still have a lot of questions that I'd like to hear being asked by these lawmakers. But from what I have seen and researched myself, and from watching the testimony and listening to the folks talking about that, and then again, just doing my own research. So let me get into the two main projects. There's Radiant Nuclear, which is doing a small project, or doing a project up in Casper, to essentially create a manufacturing business for small modular reactors. And then there's another similar kind of small, but they're called micro reactor development project that's going on in Gillette. So in Gillette, LNH Industrial, which has been a 60-year-old business up there in the Powder River Basin, working in the coal industry, they are partnering with this nuclear innovator, BWXT, to launch this multi-billion dollar industry in these micro nuclear reactors, in the production of them. So for those of you who don't know about BMXT, which it's BMX Technologies, but I'll just say BMXT, they're a leading US-based nuclear technology and manufacturing company. They're out of Lynchburg, Virginia. They're in Virginia because not only do they do design, engineering, manufacturing of nuclear components in the commercial sector, they also hold the sole manufacturing contract for our naval reactors on all of our United States Navy submarines and aircraft carrier fleet. So that's a big deal, right? They provide nuclear fuel components. They also, like I said, do that commercially for commercial nuclear power plants, as well as in the medical field where nuclear materials are handled in diagnostic and treatment. So, you know, it's a company that's been around a very, very long time. I think it's like 150 years. They've been around. They've been doing this, the nuclear, for quite some time. And the company notably developed these transportable micro reactors for the United States Department of Defense as a project that they had rolled out, aiming really to provide this kind of reliable power in very remote locations. And that is, people, that is very much cutting edge for the future. It's a really exciting idea to provide energy, quick energy, in places where it's very hard to get. BWXT's collaboration with this Wyoming-based company really reflects, I think, a commitment that is exciting for Wyoming. And I think it's going to provide a real pivotal change for that community in extending, not changing, but extending its energy portfolio in the energy jobs that Campbell County, that Gillette has. And these are not theoretical experiments, because they really are shovel-ready examples of what I would say is American innovation, right? In projects that promise not only this kind of, you know, reliable energy, but jobs, investment, long-term energy stability. And I think that's what I really like, that this is, it isn't theoretical. These are not, because I heard folks that are kind of trying to frame this as, well, you're going to come here, decide if this is a good idea, and then not do it anymore. The reality is every single United States submarine has a small reactor. Every single aircraft carrier has a reactor. This country has been doing this small scale reactor for a very, very long time. My husband and I had the great, great honor and pleasure of being flown out to the United States from the USS Ronald Reagan, landing on that aircraft carrier and spending a night. Did not see the nuclear reactor because it is classified information. We were nowhere near it and we're not allowed to see it, but we were on that ship like our fleet has those nuclear reactors. So, you know, folks that are saying this is somehow theoretical or it's just not true. I think not only is it not theoretical, but I also think that there's already a ready-made market, which is why obviously companies like BWXT or Radiant Nuclear are investing or have investors spending billions of dollars to move this project forward. This is very exciting. So I also think that there are folks that want to frame this as a choice for Wyoming, that either we keep coal or we chase the nuclear dream. And I'm just going to say right now, and I think you all need to say this too, if you agree with me, that is a false dichotomy. I'm just going to say that. I'm going to say a hard no on that. That is absolutely not true. Wyoming doesn't need to choose between its legacy coal industry and its future. We're strong enough and we're smart enough to do both, and we will do both. Because coal isn't just an economic resource. It really is a national security asset. And that is not changing anytime soon. Do you know why that's not changing? Because countries like China and Russia aren't shutting down their coal plants. They're building more because coal provides that baseload power. It provides the kind of reliable energy that does not depend on the weather, the time of day, or even foreign supply chains. And we do it cleaner than almost anywhere else in the world. But do you know what else provides a baseload power that does not rely on weather, the time of day, or foreign supply chains? Nuclear energy. nuclear energy. So at the same time, this nuclear energy, these small nuclear reactors, I think are really gaining traction, this idea as really the next frontier in clean, safe power that's available. And the fact that these are, you know, kind of scalable and can be micro or small and move, that they can be built in modules, they can be customized and deployed more affordably than, you know, the traditional nuclear power plant. Because I remember when I served in the legislature, there was a lot of discussions about, you know, obviously trying to push back against the green agenda by getting more power plants online. And it is a massive regulatory lift to do that. Now, I am not saying that that regulatory lift should not be examined. And I think the, you know, President Trump is already doing that. I'll get to some of that in a bit, but he's already doing that work where we've seen the current administration trying to scale back even on the greenhouse gases on coal plants. I think that's exactly right. Last week on Friday, while they were sitting in minerals, sort of talking about these nuclear projects, President Trump signed an executive order trying to strengthen our nuclear energy portfolio and do more in nuclear energy because they really are reliable. Those folks, when I served, who, you know, wanted to see more of those coming online, this is a new technology that can make that far more easier to do because they're not your, you know, your grandfather's massive nuclear, you know, power plant, which is, you see them dotted all over the country. When my husband and I drive in the South to visit his family, they're everywhere. They've been a staple in those communities, in those states where they've provided clean energy for decades. And now, if you can imagine that same reliability, that same idea that's scalable and small, I think it fits right into the American ethos of innovation. And I think it also creates a market-driven excellence and energy. And that's something I want you to remember, market-driven excellence, because I think it's really, really important. And it's why conservatives should be leading this conversation, not retreating from it. I've talked last week a little bit about some of the criticisms of conservatism that we just say no. And yeah, I think I said something along the lines of, it's not about just saying no. We say no in the terms of preserving longstanding tradition, but we are here to also build things that we can say yes to. And market-driven excellence, market-driven innovation, those are things that are built to say yes to, not to retreat from. So supporting energy innovation, I think, isn't not about abandoning coal. And the people that want to create that false dichotomy have got to be challenged immediately when it comes up. Because it's really about building, I think, the next layer for American energy independence, which is so important for us. You know, it's about protecting those free markets by allowing new technologies to prove themselves on their own merits, without bureaucratic overreach, without ideological gatekeeping. And these kinds of nuclear projects, I think, are ripe for that. And Wyoming is the perfect state to help in that endeavor. So in the Joint Minerals Committee meeting, they had quite a lot of testimony, a lot of interesting folks getting up and saying really good things. The one that I wanted to highlight today, talking about these two projects, because of course, one of them is in Gillette. The other one, obviously, Radiant Nuclear, is in Casper, Wyoming. But the one I wanted to talk about, because I thought his testimony was just really, really good. So we're going to listen to some of his testimony today. And we're going to talk about it. But that's Gillette's mayor, Shay Lundvall. And he spoke about this project that's possible for his community. And it's possible because these are not, so just remember this, these are not done deals, everybody. There are other states that are vying for these projects, okay? There are other states that are ponying up all kinds of things to lure these guys in because they want them. They see the value of them. So Mayor Lundvall begins really by giving us a little background about himself. And so let me just, I'll quickly kind of recap that for you. His father worked for 35 years at the Black Thunder coal mine in Campbell County. He himself worked there, as well as then going on to work his way through school by going into the methane fields, which I think his whole story, I listened and thought that is such a typical Wyoming energy story, right? Kids that live up in communities where energy is king, like Campbell County. Yeah, it's a great story, but I think it also gives him some bona fides. It proves that he understands the power of energy, that he understands the power of coal, and he's not backing away from that, but he also sees the value of energy jobs, regardless of what they are. He had some really fine words. It was a very, very good testimony, I thought. So let me just start first with his introduction and vision for Gillette and indeed, I think, Wyoming's future. So let me go to that first clip.
I sit here before you as a proud mayor of Gillette, Wyoming, representing a community that has fueled this country with hands, its hearts, and its hard work. Today, I speak for a city that is not just proud of its past, but bold about its future. The world of energy is changing, but we're not standing by, we're stepping up. Gillette is ready to become the national epicenter of small modular reactors, microreactor manufacturing, and the next generation nuclear fuel development. This is not just a chance for our city, this is a chance for Wyoming to lead the nation, to create jobs, build supply chains, attract investment, and drive innovation from our soil, not someone else's. Gillette is positioned to lead. We have a proven, adaptable workforce built by decades of supporting the coal industry, a growing Gillette College ready to train the next generation of nuclear professionals, a united civic and business community that wants to build a future-facing energy economy. We're not here to just dabble. We're here to lead.
Really well said. Now, Mayor Lundvall of Gillette goes on to talk about why asking questions matter. But as I've already pointed out, questions that are in good faith are what helps to inform and educate and not really score points. And he does such a good job, I thought, that I wanted to isolate this next clip so you could listen to it. So here's Mayor Lundvall talking about why asking questions matter.
Let me be clear. No one should be demonized for asking the hard questions. That's good governance. But transparency should sharpen our decisions, not stall progress. The stakes in the window of opportunity. Wyoming is in a horse race, and the other states are gaining a lot of ground. Texas, Idaho, Tennessee, they're offering incentives, infrastructure, and workforce pipelines to lure these same companies. If we hesitate, we lose these companies, we lose these jobs, and this future to other states. That's why energy matching funds are not just optional, they're essential. These funds tell companies Wyoming is serious and we are ready.
Okay, so transparency should sharpen our decisions, not stall progress. That is a great quote. And it really gets to the heart of what we need our leaders doing to really get to the bottom of these kinds of projects and really help educate all of us, right? So we're all more knowledgeable and less fearful of what we don't at first understand. And that's really part of their job, particularly in this interim phase where you should be asking, you know, really smart, thoughtful questions. Okay, so next the mayor lays out Gillette's future, this city in the heart of Wyoming's coal country, by talking a little bit more about what coal has done for our state in the past. And we cannot have this conversation where I'm saying that it's a false dichotomy to say one or the other without listening to what this mayor has to say about what we all know about what coal has done. So let's hold for that clip.
Gillette's vision, a full spectrum of nuclear ecosystem. Gillette is not looking to host a project, we are building a permanent industry. We are designing an ecosystem that supports reactor component manufacturing, advanced fuel development, logistics, deployment, and supply integration. Workforce training through local education partnerships, research, design, and commercial expansion. This isn't speculative. It's strategic, it's industrial, and it's necessary. It's no secret that Gillette's energy industry has fueled the state's economy for decades. A few points. More than 95% of the state's coal severance taxes come from Campbell County and in turn benefit all of Wyoming. It's also estimated that coal production in Campbell County has decreased by about half since our peak in 2008. More than 6,000 energy jobs. Campbell County has a strong, dedicated workforce that we'd like to grow for the future. Wyoming knows energy. We continue to lead the nation in baseload energy, and I believe that nuclear can increase that. Let's lead, not watch others pass us by.
Wyoming does know energy. We do provide the country with it. And we can continue to do so more and more through innovation, not less. So no industry ever remains stagnant. And I think the mayor begins to conclude his remarks by addressing those in the room directly who have been trying to raise fear around these projects. So listen to, again, the mayor of Gillette, Wyoming, Shay Lundvall.
So to every legislator in this room, I hear your concerns. I respect your questions. I share your desire to get this right. But I ask you, do not let fear paralyze our potential. Do not let complexity become an excuse for inaction. I understand the fear that nuclear development could undermine coal or replace transitional energy. But I reject the notion that Wyoming has to choose between its legacy and its future. We can and must do both. Let's harness what's made us strong, our work ethic, our natural resources, our independent spirit, and apply it to the energy tools of the 21st century. Gillette doesn't want to survive. We want to thrive. We don't want to be a pit stop for someone else's innovation. We want to be the launch pad for America's next energy chapter. We can protect what built us while forging what's next.
Okay. We shouldn't let complexity become an excuse for inaction. He is so right, guys. Yes, nuclear energy is technical. So is coal, so is natural gas, and just about every other form of power production, right? But since when did conservatives shy away from hard problems? Wyoming has never been afraid of getting our hands dirty. We've never been afraid of learning what needs to be done and learning what is going on with a certain industry. And we've never shied away from leading from the front. If the future of American energy requires understanding new systems, adapting our workforce, building new partnerships, then let's get to work. And that's exactly what this mayor is saying. That's exactly what a lot of the testimony was. Complexity isn't a reason to stall out. It's a reason really to rise up and to understand. And that's what needs to be going on during this interim with joint minerals. Too often, I think we see well-meaning conservatives really hesitating in the face of emerging technologies like nuclear, fearing it's too complex or means giving up on what we know. But fear should never dictate policy. Facts should. And the fact is, Wyoming can be the national model for a truly robust energy strategy. And I say this as somebody, and I'm going to give you just a little bit of history, a little Amy history. I'll say this as somebody who cut her teeth opposing the storage of nuclear waste in her backyard. So I grew up in a very rural Nebraska farm country over what is called the Ogallala Aquifer, which is very shallow, very deep and very rich aquifer underneath this community that I lived in. And we had a possible proposal brought to us by a company in our small community that wanted to store nuclear waste. And I was in high school and had no involvement in politics at all. And it was really the first thing I got involved in, myself and just about everybody. There was just a small amount of people that really wanted the project and everyone else, my family, my uncles who, you know, were on the farm, all of our neighboring farmers, everyone came out in droves. And, you know, we made placards and we protested meetings and that was after we had spent hours. I mean, I wrote a whole paper in high school. I did all of this stuff on nuclear storage. And what I learned was that there's really real ways in which you can very, very safely store nuclear waste. Absolutely, you can. But cement on top of a very rich aquifer like the Ogallala Aquifer is not the place to do it. And it also did not fit for a very rural, very agriculture, our community. It was not a good fit in terms of the traffic and all the other stuff. And so, but it took that time and effort really. So when I say that looking at these projects and seeing these, and these are really manufacturing projects where they're going to be manufacturing these reactors, yes, there will be a component of some amount of nuclear waste storage and also retrofitting, because apparently what's so innovative about these reactors is that once their charge is done, once the energy is spent, they actually bring them back. They will bring them back here to their manufacturing plants, and then they will retrofit them again. And I assume recharge them with more rods and energy and then send them back out again. In that, there's a minimal amount of waste, but there will be some of which they are, of course, in their manufacturing unit will be required to. You think of a company like BWXT that has been doing nuclear reactors on submarines. I'm assuming the same relationship to a certain extent exists. Obviously, our United States military has to store that spent materials for every single submarine we have, for every single aircraft carrier that uses these small nuclear reactors. So the storage is something that has been contemplated for decades. You know, again, a little history about Amy. I kind of cut my political teeth on that as a kid in high school with a family, with a dad and a mom who are very opposed, and we all worked together. But we did it after learning a ton about what it meant. I think these projects are very much a good fit for Wyoming in many ways. The idea of the free market is so important. And I talked about this, you know, market-driven excellence. We should never allow government, either at the federal or the state level, to really pick winners and losers based on political trends or on fashionable panic or fashionable strife. True conservatism means believing in the power of the market guided by facts. And I think that's the key issue. Does it mean that communities can't ultimately reject these things? Of course not. Communities absolutely can. My community did when I was a kid. We said, this isn't the right project for us. We pushed back and said no. And ultimately it didn't happen. But It means that we have to recognize, though, that the free enterprise system works best when these innovators compete and consumers can benefit. And there has to be that kind of competition, and hard questions have to be asked. And yes, it also means that coal, gas, nuclear, renewables, they all have a place in our energy portfolio. So we're not picking one over the other, and we should not do that, so long as they can compete on a fair and open playing field. And I think in areas like wind and others, this is where there continues to be a lot of unfairness, because some of these industries are far more subsidized federally, and that is not a fair and open playing field. So I think here's something really worth noting, and I talked about it just a little bit ago. So last Friday, it would have been a week ago. I'm recording this on Thursday, but a week ago Friday, President Trump signed an executive order focusing on strengthening America's nuclear industry. And really that signature, I think, signals a national policy of support for advanced reactors, you know, calling on agencies to streamline permitting to boost domestic uranium production, of which we have a ton in Wyoming, obviously. Maybe not a ton, but you know what I mean? We have a lot of uranium. And I think at the same time, Trump remains one of the few national figures actively calling for reforms to protect coal plants. And we saw that, like I said, the beginning of last week, where he calling for reforms to protect coal plants from overzealous regulations and really to reduce unnecessary greenhouse gas restrictions that I think have choked out competition and has threatened, even here in Wyoming, to shut down Rocky Mountain Power, to shut down some of the coal-fired power plants. So we already have a federal policy in place right now to do that work. And I think seeing at the federal level an administration doing both shows that both can be done. And that creating this false dichotomy that you got to pick one or the other is simply wrongheaded. It's a wrong approach. Doing both, that's the right approach. Support the past, support this legacy, this, you know, payload legacy, build the future. Don't pick sides, pick strength. Because Wyoming really is blessed with the talent, I think, the resources, the leadership to shape the next chapter of American energy, as we have done for decades. Casper and Gillette are stepping up with these projects that I think could really make us the energy capital of tomorrow for the country. And that's very exciting. So we can't let fear or our ignorance of complex issues stand in the way. We really need to ask these hard questions. And when I say we need lawmakers who will ask smart, hard questions, who will set aside agendas, political agendas, and get into the minutiae, roll up their sleeves and learn and ask those questions, come to a place of understanding. Now, after you've asked all the questions, if you're still a no, then you're still a no. But it's hard to accept somebody's no when they haven't even asked the questions first. And for the rest of us, if you have people out there that want to say this is one or the other, this is not about turning our backs on coal workers. And the mayor of Gillette makes a great case for that. It's about making sure that the kids and grandkids of those very workers today in our coal mines have good paying energy jobs tomorrow. And whether that's in a coal plant or a small reactor control room or any other energy research facility here in Wyoming, I think we should want and push for all of them. Let's be the state that leads by example. Let's be the state that says yes to legacy, yes to innovation, and really yes to this energy future that we all want and need in America. So I'm going to end today with the mayor's final thoughts at the Joint Minerals Committee. It was really, he had so many good things to say. So we're heavy on Mayor Lundvall today because I really liked his comments a lot. So I'm going to end today with his comments. Thank you guys so much for listening. I really appreciate it. And here for your takeout comments is Mayor Shea Lundvall.
We don't want to just survive in the transition, but we want to lead this. Let's build a Wyoming where coal country becomes energy country, powered by all of the above. So I urge this body, respect the concerns, ask the hard questions, hold every company accountable, but be an and state, not an or state. But do not let fear from stop us from building a better future. Let's lead the nation. Let's own our own energy destiny. Let's ensure that when America's nuclear chapter is written, it begins right here in Wyoming with Gillette at the heart of it. I'd like to extend an invitation to any of you or the LSO to come visit to meet with local businesses and learn more about our potential manufacturing opportunities. The time is now, the opportunity is real, and the choice is ours. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.